Chapter 12. The Double Life, 1994-1995. The next 6 months flashed by at 1,000 RPMs. Kevin's world became a schizophrenic blend of gray reality and brightly colored fantasy. At home in Boston, he barreled through his senior year at MIT. Thankfully, most of his course requirements were already completed, so it was just a matter of coasting through a handful of engineering seminars while closing out the swim season. Splintered into that gray tapestry were his weekend excursions to Vegas with Mickey and the crew. Well-planned, almost military-styled assaults that soon became routine but never mundane. Every third Friday night, Kevin went straight from the Infinite Corridor to the America West 69 Neon Express, exchanging his dorm room for a 3,000-square-foot celebrity suite, trading dinner at the dining hall for 3 a.m. room service feasts. Frat parties became fight nights. Brews at the local bar were replaced by free champagne and crystal glasses poured by hosts in private booths at some of the most upscale clubs in the country. Along the way, Kevin felt himself changing. He was living two opposing lives with two distinct sets of memories. At home, he could reminisce with Felicia about what they'd miss when they graduated. Basketball games at the Garden. Late nights at a pub called Crossroads. Ice skating in the Boston Common. But he could also close his eyes and see the bright lights of Vegas. The high adrenaline moments of frozen time that spun through his memory like glowing shards of shattered glass. By Christmas, Kevin had eased into the role of big player. He wasn't as polished as Fisher or as theatrical as Martinez, but he had a quiet competence with the cards and a real talent for sliding in and out of a table. As Mickey had said, Kevin had the look. No matter the situation, he never appeared out of place. He could sit at a table of conventioneers, A-list celebrities, or Hong Kong businessmen, betting twice as much as any of them without raising the attention of the pit boss. He could play in a high-stakes pit with Kevin Costner and Howard Stern, or at a $5 table tucked away by the slot machines, and never compromise his style of play. He learned to inhabit his aliases, like a trained actor playing a role. Sometimes he was Teddy Chan, the son of a heart surgeon from Hong Kong. Other days, he was Arthur Lee, an internet millionaire from Silicon Valley. One weekend, he was Davis Ellard, whose family owned supermarkets across Asia. The next trip, he was Albert Kwok, the nephew of the richest landowner in Malaysia. By mid-December, his wallet was full of photo IDs and credit cards. He created 9 distinct aliases and acquired 9 different casino hosts, some of them at the very same casinos. When he hit the Stardust, there was pink champagne waiting in a wraparound corner suite. At the MGM Grand, a tray of filet mignon was parked by the widescreen TV. At Caesars, they kept a pony keg of Sam Adams chilled in his bedroom to remind him of the fully stocked bar at the villa that his imaginary billionaire father kept outside of Rome. But the comps were only half the story. For Kevin, the real thrill was in the game itself. Working the system, turning the math into money, keeping the count without breaking character. Much of the system was a grind, playing thousands of hands in a single weekend, keeping meticulous track of wins and losses, knowing when to get up from a table and when to start burning the cards. But to be really good, Kevin had to reach a level of sophistication as practiced as a technique of a professional athlete. Turning his rudimentary skills into expertise was the most difficult task Kevin had ever performed. Anyone could learn to count, but only a true master could earn Mickey Rosa's respect. When Kevin finally became an expert at all levels of counting, including shuffle, tracking, and card cutting, the two tricks he had watched Martinez and Fisher perform back in Atlantic City that first weekend, he felt a real sense of accomplishment, measurably more satisfying than when he aced an engineering midterm. The highs and lows in Vegas far outweighed the swells and ebbs at home, and the counting moments that stood out, good and bad, defined that period of his life.